So last week, Francis looked at the passage where Jesus summed up the whole of the law, the Torah, in the commandments, first to love God with all of oneself, and then to love one's neighbor as oneself. Now Jesus has found himself surrounded with people who are telling their fellow Jews about the heavy packs they need to carry on their backs for the journey, but who never dreamed of carrying such things themselves. The legal experts are always going on about Moses. Moses said this, Moses said that, do this, don't do that, watch out for this danger. Remember to do this every day, and so on and so on. From one point of view, it looks like wonderful devotion, a lavish attention to the detail of the commandments. Something's going on with the recording, that's okay. Right, so this looks like, you know, this really deep devotion. You know, they're really paying attention to that detail
which God gave to Israel.
But there were 613 rules that the scribes and Pharisees had added to ensure that the Torah would be obeyed. And they were just a heavy burden that they laid on others' shoulders. So Jesus' charge against the scribes and Pharisees, which builds up through this chapter with a sort of a devastating catalogue of indictments against them, his charge is not that they were wrong to pay attention to Moses. Matthew's made it clear all along that we are all to obey the Mosaic law. The Mosaic law, the Torah, was good and God-given. It should indeed be observed. But what really mattered in it, as he said in last week's passage, were the big central matters of loving God and loving your neighbor, which means justice and mercy and faithfulness, as he says later on in this chapter. And when it came to those, he declared, the legal experts who were so good at telling other people what to do never lifted a finger to lift the really heavy burdens of justice and mercy. Instead, they concentrated on outward show. Large prayer cases known as phylacteries. There are leather bands and cases carrying prayers and worn on the arm and the head. And they could easily be seen by others. And they were noted as a sign of piety. Long prayer tassels at the four corners of the outer garment showed, again, how scrupulous the wearers were, and they wanted to be thought. Titles of honour, places of honour, all the fame that a small society could afford. Jesus throws it all to the winds. It shows they haven't understood what Moses was on about. And now, all this is often applied to those who teach, and it certainly does apply. But it also applies to all those who are claiming in any way to be Christian, to be followers of Jesus, and therefore, as the Great Commission at the end of Matthew commands, to be witnesses to Jesus. The Pharisees, after all, weren't professional leaders or teachers, as much as those who really wanted to be fully committed to God and to obeying his Torah. The Jewish people, ever since the exile, had been really aware that the curse of not obeying the covenant law had been to go into exile and to be under the rule of others, and they were still under the rule of others. They didn't have their own place, their own land to rule. So the Pharisees had actually really sort of refined this and thought that, well, if they obeyed God perfectly, even for a day, that would lead to God's rule being restored, God's kingdom to come. They were really concerned about the kingdom of God. And they therefore did their best to really know God's law, this Torah, as well as obey it. That's why they'd made up all the extra laws, to try and make sure that they were really obeying God. They were particularly concerned about the practices of purification that were necessary for temple participation and bringing those into their everyday experience. They wanted to be pure and holy to be able to worship God at all times. They weren't attempting to earn a place in God's covenant through their Torah observance. Instead, as part of God's covenant people, they attempted to live out their faithfulness to the law, with a strong focus on avoiding that ritual defilement whenever possible. However, in doing this, they lost sight of the essence of the law, that is to love God and to love their neighbor. So one aspect of this that we need to look at, if we really want to be faithful to God, is whether what we do in our attempts to be really devoted to God in our, for example, our church life, actually end up standing in the way of love and justice and mercy, of really loving God with all our strength and minds and souls and our neighbours as ourselves. For example, in our church life, what do we do in our services that's really, you know, perhaps for our own pleasure? I like that style of music, or I'm used to doing it in this way, rather than what Jesus tells us to do when we come together, to love one another as I have loved you. Do this to remember me. Do we do what we like, or do we do what we will really convey the love of God to someone who isn't familiar with all of this, with all of what's happening here? Do we meet in a place or a way that might seem strange or unnerving to those who are outside? Could these be burdens that we lay on others that are not necessary for them to come to God? And in our everyday lives, while we aim to be witnesses to Jesus, to obey God, and we would, of course, advocate for love, for justice and mercy, do we actually behave differently ourselves? Do we put others down, perhaps even in jest, rather than building them up and outdoing each other and showing honour? Do we speak negatively of others, rather than with mercy and compassion? Do we act out of anxiety, rather than those who know that they're loved by the King of the universe and therefore have nothing to fear? Do we serve with humility, rather than expecting to be rewarded with recognition or receive the same back? Do we do good even when it costs us or is unpleasant for us? Do we love the unlovely? Smile at the stranger on the street? Pick up the litter? Tidy up the mess? Whatever it is, without grumbling and without anyone seeing. And I did see a whole lot of people who were doing that yesterday around this church building and grounds. But what are we doing that would say to, we would say to others is good to do? Are we doing all of that? Are we doing all that Jesus would say we're called to do? That faithful obedience, that loyalty to God and God's word that Jesus asks for us, is to be central to Christian living, to our Christian life. Now, in our culture, you know, it worships freedom from constraints. You know, any regulations or laws are sort of regarded often as heavy and burdensome, especially the religious ones. But even in this culture, Jesus calls his followers to faithfulness and obedience, but with the assurance that his teachings are easy loads to bear. God helps us with everything we need to do this. He assures us that when we fail, he's willing and ready to forgive us. Because he is a God of grace and mercy, and not a statistic schoolmaster ready to beat us every time we slip up. God's Spirit is in us, and Jesus is beside us to lead us and guide us, so that we're not just dependent on our own puny strength and wisdom when we try to follow God. God is helping us all the way. And we are to be supported to do this by being in fellowship with Christian brothers and sisters, people who will talk about their life in Christ together with us, with honesty and prayer and encouragement. So Jesus' yoke is not heavy, his burden is light. Now, Jesus' second critique of the Pharisees is that they do their religious practices for the wrong audience. They wear the required religious garment with fringes, as in Numbers 15, but they accentuate the length to be seen by others. They seek honor from people rather than praise from God alone for their religious observance. Nowhere do we hear Jesus actually faulting their religious practice per se. Instead, he's highly critical of their misplaced focus on human admiration. In contrast, Jesus' followers are prohibited from elevating anyone among them over the others, giving them titles. Jesus is our Messiah, our instructor, our teacher. And this not elevating people is quite countercultural, even in their setting, seeking places of honor in the best seats in public gatherings, as the Pharisees are described in doing, would have been the acceptable and expected behavior in the first century context. And Jesus' renunciation of those status concerns and practices in his community would have been difficult to fully grasp in that context. In Matthew earlier, in fact, the disciples struggle to really understand Jesus' teaching on this sort of status reversal. But this also seems hard, of course, for people today to grasp. You know, there are some in the church who, on the basis of tradition, call themselves Father, rather than looking to this teaching of Jesus. There are, in the Church of England, unlike here, in fact, each level of church ministry has not only a title, but also a significant pay increase. Whereas, at least in the Anglican Church here, clergy in a diocese receive the same stipend, no matter what their titles are. The bishop has just a little bit more. But, you know, this, in the world, you know, it's normal, really, to seek the status of titles, and especially the rewards of remuneration and public honour that go with those. So instead of being recognised and looked up to by other people to be considered great in some way, Jesus says that those who are truly great will be those who serve. The kingdom of God is an upside-down kingdom. Instead of trying to get to the top of the ladder, we're called to aspire to the lower place. In a world where everyone's trying to be recognized and respected by others, everyone is automatically in competition with each other. In that sort of world, building real community is very difficult. But in a world where we follow Jesus' teaching, we aren't in competition with each other. Rather, we're serving each other in love. And so we can be real community together. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. And we remember, as Jesus was saying these things, he was on his way to a cross to lay down his life for the world. So we follow Jesus as we humbly serve and lay down our lives for one another. Let us do as we say Jesus would have us do.